Our study of Numbers, we are in chapter 35 and we're picking up with verse 29. So these things shall be for a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses, but one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die.
So the instructions given concerning one who killed another, whether intentionally or unintentionally, were to be followed as statutes of judgment throughout all the generations where they lived, okay? And everyone who killed a person was to be tried. Everyone. Intentional or unintentional. If the murderer had two witnesses against him, he was to be executed. But he could not be executed for murder with only one witness. Okay, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established.
Good. Verse 31. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. And ye shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death of the priest.
Now, God is very specific here that you can't buy your way out of something. The way the laws of the land work today, if you've got enough money, you can get out of things. I personally know of a situation where a guy, there was no question about whether or not he murdered another guy, but the family agreed if he paid so many thousands of dollars that he could get off, and he did, and he never pulled a day in prison for murdering a person. Okay? God set up the law to where that won't happen. Even with the city of refuge unintentional, you can't buy your way out of it. You have to stay there until the death of the high priest. You have to follow God's protocol in order to be protected. You have to stay under the covering of Jesus. There's no protection out from under the covering of Jesus. People turn away from Jesus and they wonder why this has happened, that's happening. They want to blame Jesus. No, you just left yourself wide open to the enemy.
Verse 33. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein you are. For blood it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it.
And so the land was polluted with blood. I was thinking about, as she was reading, I was thinking about how when Cain slew Abel, and the Lord confronted him. He said, the blood of your brother is crying out from the ground.
Yeah.
And so that would defile the land. The blood, shedding of blood through murder would defile the land. And so the only atonement for that was for blood to be shed by the avenger of blood, which we mentioned earlier, but he's reiterating it here.
Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inherit, wherein I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel.
So basically just saying, keep the land from being defiled. You don't let blood be shed without you shedding blood for the blood that was shed, okay?
That's good. You know, I think about that last little bit of verse 34. For I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. And when I read that and I think about how the Lord, he dwells within me now and how he has given me a territory, I consider my home to be a territory that the Lord has given me. And it's up to us. It's up to the parents. It's up to me to make sure that that land that he's given me is not defiled. To keep him at the center. To keep his word in that home. There's so many principles embedded in this word. We can read this and we can say, oh, well, that's just a law that Jesus has fulfilled, or we can see the principle embedded in it for us too.
You know, another thing where someone may bring up the question, well, what if somebody got killed and the killer got away? Well, if they found someone dead and they couldn't find out who killed the person, then they'd bring the elders of the city that's nearest to the body or whatever, and they would have to, you know, take an oath they didn't know all this, and then an animal would have to be killed. Blood had to be shed for that blood to keep the land from being defiled. And that's just a summary, not going into all the detail.
Yeah, as we move into chapter 36, this chapter tells of the concern of the leaders of Manasseh regarding the inheritance that was to be given to Zelophehad's daughters and Moses' response to their concern. In verse 1, and the chief fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph came near, and spake before Moses and before the princes of the chief fathers of the children of Israel. And they said, the Lord commanded my Lord to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. And my Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, unto his daughters.
So they're concerned about whether or not Manasseh's going to lose territory if these girls, you know, one of them or all of them marry into another tribe, then they would lose the territory. And so Moses takes it before the Lord.
And in verse 3, and if they be married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers, and shall be put to the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So it shall be taken from the lot of our inheritance. And when the jubilee of the children of Israel shall be, then shall their inheritance be put into the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers.
So they have a legitimate concern here. They're not wanting to lose part of their territory, but they follow the right protocol. I mean, they go to the leaders and voice their concern, and then Moses takes that concern before the Lord, because you don't have all the answers. You understand? And God would add to along the way when certain situations came up. God would give instruction.
And Moses commanded the children of Israel according to the word of the Lord, saying, the tribe of the sons of Joseph hath said well. This is the thing which the Lord doth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best. Only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers.
So Moses takes this before the Lord. The Lord says, my paraphrase, they have a legitimate complaint. And so this is what you're to do, not just for them, but this is to be incorporated into the law, okay? That if you have where a man has no sons and his inheritance goes to his daughters, then those daughters must marry within their own tribe. They can marry whomever they please, but it has to be within their tribe so that the inheritance is not lost when your jubilee and all that, when you know, everything's returned back, that no tribe is losing any territory. And so, he makes this a law.
And every daughter that possesseth an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel, shall be wife unto one of the family of the tribe of her father, that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his fathers. Neither shall the inheritance remove from one tribe to another tribe, but every one of the tribes of the children of Israel shall keep himself to his own inheritance. Even as the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad.
So when you think about this, God gives this territory to this tribe. All right? That's a gift from God. Nobody's going to take that territory. God gave that territory. That territory stays there. Okay? And so this is put into law, and the daughters of Zelophehad didn't buck the law. They agreed to it, and Mahlah, Tirzah, Hoglah, Milcah, Noah married men who were descendants of Manasseh. And so, consequently, their inheritance that their father had given them remained in the tribe of Manasseh.
Which is good. So I want to go ahead and give you a test question that you're going to see concerning these verses we just read. According to Numbers 36, 2 through 10, blank have a right to their father's inheritance, but they must follow proper protocol. Who has that right? Yeah, women, that's right. According to Numbers 36, 2 through 10, women have a right to their father's inheritance, but they must follow proper protocol. So now we're ready for this last verse here in Numbers chapter 36, verse 13. These are the commandments and the judgments which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses unto the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho.
So the things that Moses is saying here are things that they're the judgments of God. They're not laws that some congressional committee or organization has passed. It's not the laws of men. It's the law of God. Even though it's called the law of Moses, it's the law God gave to Moses. And so Moses was responsible for writing these laws down and seeing to it that these laws were executed. And so they're recorded in a book, and Numbers gives us the descendants of Israel, the rules, the regulations that they're to follow. And Moses did this right before he died. They're in the plains of Jericho, there, or near Jericho, there by the Jordan River. And so this is the latter years of his life when he's reiterating these things to them. But he's going to be certain that they're without excuse. You have it, not just verbal, but you have it in writing. Okay. Now, I've mentioned this before, but when you're studying, especially in the Old Testament, when you're studying in that various books or whatever, I look for Jesus. Now, let me explain this. How is that I'm reading pointing to Jesus, especially here in the Pentateuch, especially, okay? So how does Genesis relate? How does Exodus relate? Leviticus, Numbers, how does it relate to Jesus? And so I see Jesus in here through the serpent being lifted up on the pole and men looking up and being healed and their lives being spared, to where Jesus said, if I be lifted up, speaking of the death that he was going to die, if men will put their attention on the cross, they will be spared from spiritual death and they can also be healed. You understand? And then you also see Jesus as the star who came out of Jacob, and the scepter who rose out of Israel, the ruler, the king. And you go through this thing. Jesus is all in the Old Testament in type and shadow. Things are pointing to what's coming. And so we need to glean from that. It's been aptly said, and you've heard me say it many times, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so you need to look at both the old and the new in order to get the revelation, and then rely on the Holy Spirit to give us the revelation. Lord, what do you want me to see in this? What are you saying to me? How does this apply to me? And then we glean the principles so we can apply the principles to everyday living. Okay? It's not that every verse you're going to apply. It's the whole concept that you're looking at. Okay? And so that sort of summarizes the book of Numbers. You
Amen.
Want to say anything to that?
Well, I was just thinking what a tremendous study this has been. And how we've seen, we see the order of God just demonstrated in, to me, just an awesome way with, remember our study of the encampment and how they were to break camp and the order in that, of that, and just the wisdom of God to know who needs to go first, whose needs to be, you know, the holy things need to be, they're going to be right there in the middle, protected. And everybody's going to be right where they're supposed to be at the right time doing the right thing if we do it God's way. And that's a principle for us. We don't ever have to wonder about what we're supposed to do, when we're supposed to do it, how we're supposed to do it. If we rely on the Lord to let us know, we'll be in the right place at the right time doing the right thing for the glory of God and the advancement of His kingdom. Amen.
Amen. All right, that concludes this this study. Are there any questions or anything? I appreciate your patience with us redoing this to correct some things. I feel a lot better about it. I have to really watch, or I can beat myself up if I don't get on top of it. For a test review? Okay.
And then we'll,
before we do the test review?
Yes, okay. So Lynn can finish us up here.
Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your counsel upon us and you give us peace. The Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you be before you. Amen.
Amen.
I will say this,